Good. I'm actually to excuse my voice. Sound a little bit crazy tonight. That's okay. I won't be teaching long tonight. It's gonna be about 20 minutes because I gotta save some of my voice for the next class. So, but nevertheless, we're beginning chapter. I'll read it down. I need to see what chapter it is. Chapter 8. Identifying those who join in covenant. Now, this chapter will give us insight into what discipline we need to have in our lives to come into covenant. A lot of times we come into covenant trying to have our own agenda, and a lot of because how we've been trained in the current church, we think because we're connected to somebody that we're in covenant with them. But being in covenant simply means that you're willing to forsake what you want for the agenda of somebody else. Now, once again, I'm going over this over and over again because I want you to understand this concept. Galatians 6 and 7, it says, God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That principle works throughout the Bible. That principle is the principle that covenant is built on. So now if covenant is built on that principle, now we understand why Matthew 6:33 is so important. Because in Matthew 6:33, it tells us to what? Seek first. See how? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hope you're listening to me, Internet. And his righteousness and what it says. So, out of the mouth of Jesus in this sixth chapter, Jesus is saying when you focus on what God wants first, he's going to make sure that you have everything that you want, need, and desire. So therefore, it is counterproductive for us to come into covenant with our own agenda. Because then we're defeating our own purpose because the kingdom of God does not work. The world system works like that. The world system makes connections based on how it benefits them. You know, businesses come into partnership in the world system because one can do something for the other. It's never what I can do for you without ever asking what you can do for me. But yet the Bible tells us that whatever we sow, so therefore that means if I forsake, I don't put myself first, that means somebody else will put me first. Is this making sense? But the thing is, because we're so steeped in religion and we're so steeped in the old way of church, and because the priests have not done an excellent job of helping us understand apostolic, we find it hard to trust one another. So this particular chapter is going to help us set some discipline, some guidelines, and give us some secrets on what we can do so that we can be effective in covenant. Because if we're not effective in covenant, then Galatians 6 and 7 is not going to work on our behalf. You can't seek first the kingdom of God if you're seeking yourself first. It's only one thing come first. And the beautiful thing about God is, God is so encompassing, so loving, that when we seek him first, it actually benefits us more than it benefits him. When we see God first, it benefits us more than it benefits him. I mean, you could take, Apostle Thompson always used this illustration. You can look at Luke 6:38. Go there, I want you to see something. He talked about this at the Supernatural Money Coming to You conference in Greensboro just this past weekend. This past Thursday and Friday. Watch what it says in Luke 6:38. very familiar scripture. Now, once again, if you got a good Bible, what is it written in? So what that means? I'm just picking. If it ain't written in red, that just mean that particular publisher didn't want to do that. So so in the 38th verse, now remember I just said this statement. It's a very powerful statement I just made. That God, watch this. What we do for God can never match up what he does for us. I mean, God is, like I said, he's so wonderful that he asked us to do, watch this, one thing. And it takes him 99% of the scripture to explain what he wants to do for us. You see that? He said what? Give. Right? And watch what he said. And it shall be given unto you. Not just, watch this. It's just not given unto you. But then he puts, what he put? Colon, right? Semicolons. Right? That means I'm about to explain to you what I really mean. He said, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So God is always prepared to outdo us. He's always prepared to outdo us. So now, if that's the case, then it makes no sense for me to come in a covenant with my agenda. Because my agenda is only going to get what is only going to allow me to receive my limited thinking. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Go to Ephesians, the third chapter, I think it is. Ephesians 3:20. It's Apostle Paul writing. He says, now unto him, meaning God, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That power that works in us is our ability to make the decisions we're going to do what God is asking us to do. Are you seeing this? See, that power, nobody else has control over that power. Your power of decision. Nobody else has control over that power but you. And what he says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we, what? Ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. According to my ability to make decisions, to do what God is asking me to do, even when it's inconvenient for me. Even when it's not something I want to do. We're going to talk about it next year. You get a chance that we'll talk about the soul in our class. The next class I'll teach to you is spirit life training, and we're going to get into the soul. And it's going to be a very powerful class because, you know, a lot of times we train our spirit, but we don't train our soul. We train our spirit, we don't train our mind. And so what you have to understand is what you dislike, you train yourself to dislike. You dislike it because you made yourself, you decided. So now what I like is what I've trained myself. So therefore, watch this. So therefore, if God gives me an assignment that I don't like, I have the power So now watch this. Watch what he says. Watch what he says. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That power has nothing to do with your abilities. It has everything to do with your decision-making skills. This is why Romans 12:2 is important. Go there. Romans 12:2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what?
Mind.
That ye may what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So now watch this. When I renew my mind with the word of God, that word prove simply means recognize. So when I renew my mind with the word of God, I'm able to recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When I recognize the perfect will of God, that means I'm able to decide that's what I want to do. So now when my mind is being renewed and all of a sudden I see where God is moving and I don't necessarily want to go that direction, it's up to me. It's up to me to renew my mind enough to where I won't be conformed to the world or be conformed to my carnal way of thinking. Are you seeing this? So therefore, I will be empowered to make the right decision and do what God is asking me to do. Even though at the beginning I didn't like it or I didn't want to do it. But I stayed with it long enough until I have convinced myself. I know it's the will of God, but now I've convinced myself this is what I need to do. Are y'all seeing this?
Yes, sir.
See, a lot of times, you know, the enemy plays with us with our soul and we don't even know it. And the reason why he plays with our soul is because, watch this, if we don't come in a covenant without our personal agenda being in the way. If we have our personal agenda in the way, that's a part of our soul. So when it's God who wants to do his perfect will through us, but we have our own will, there's going to be a clash. Are you seeing this? So in this particular chapter, we're going to see how these gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, that attached themselves to David, how they begin to do things, how they begin to think, how they began to change how they behave so that they can be connected to David for a greater cause than themselves. Which, I'll give you a heads up, these are the same people in 1 Samuel 22 that was broke, disgusted, and didn't know what to do. But the Bible says they joined themselves to David. You will see, I think it's in 2 Chronicles, later on in 2 Chronicles, you will see that David began to, again, as a leader, began to say, I'm going to, of my own treasure, give this amount to build the house of God. Right after David said that, those same people that were broke, that were disgusted, are you seeing this? They were able to give right along with David. Why? Very simple. They forego their personal agenda and attached themselves to an agenda that God had established, which allowed them to do Galatians 6 and 7. God is, what is it? I love the first part. God is not mocked. That's saying God is not a fool. God is not a liar. God ain't go back on his word. God ain't going to change. Whatever you do for him, that means he's going to make sure that whatever you want for him is going to get done. And Ephesians 3:20 lets us know that he's not going to just do what we ask or think. Now, let's think about this. Let's think about this. Why would God not just do what we ask or think? Because the Bible says he'll give you the desires of your heart, right? But according to Ephesians 3:20, he will give you desires and lanyard. Now, why would God do that? God does that because he wants you to know that he's God. And that nobody else can love you like he can. So he's never going to just do exactly what you ask. Because if he do exactly what you ask, that means you're in control. So he got he wants to know that he's a good father. That he's just not an he's just not your average God. You ask for this particular job. He give you this job and he give you perks to go with it. You ask for this car. He tell you, okay, you want this car? I tell you, prime example. I was getting ready to go buy a particular RV. I had one RV, I'm getting ready to go buy another one. And so I had in my mind what I wanted. Right? I had a 40 footer in mind that I wanted, right? And so I went to the dealership, started negotiating with the guy, got the deal right, finna make the deal happen, right? So in the meantime, I'm going to, now listen. In the meanwhile, I'm driving my current RV, going to Beaumont, Texas, to a Supernatural Money Coming to You conference, all right? So I'm on my way to handle business for God, right? Stopped and negotiated on this particular, I hope you listen to that, internet, negotiated on this particular RV that I wanted. Me and my wife have been looking at it. This is the one we want. This is what we want. This is, we saw it nice, what we want. Hey, this is it. Negotiated. Had them put the money down on it to hold it so they get it straight. We come back, we're going to finish it off. I got to Beaumont handling business. I'm supposed to go Friday morning after the morning session to drive back, which is about 2 hours, to go pick it up. I call that morning, guy said, hold up, we're having trouble with the AC. We can't figure out what's going on. All right? Can't figure out what's going on. So I said, okay, no problem, just call me when you get it ready. So go through the conference, finish the conference. Saturday morning, we're driving back. So I call him Saturday morning, say, hey, we're on our way through. We're going, you have it ready. He said, man, we still have a problem. So it's going to take you 2 hours to get here. I promise you, by the time you get here, we'll have it straight. So we're driving from Beaumont, Texas, back to Bro Bridge. Everybody know where I'm at? Those who watch my internet probably don't know where we're at, but those of you know what I'm talking about. So you know I'm on I-10, right? So I get to Bro Bridge, get to the dealership, start talking to the guy, and he said, man, I have no idea what's going on. So I'm sitting in the dealership, and I'm about disgusted because I want the RV. This is what I want. I'm about disgusted. So I'm just starting looking on the internet at the same dealership, just looking on the internet, and I see the same color one, same interior, but this is a 42 footer. So mind you now, the one that I was getting ready to buy and the one that this 42 footer is about a $50,000 difference. All right, about a $50,000 difference. So I said, well, man, what about this one? I mean, I can't get this one right. What y'all can do for me for this one? He said, you know what? For all your trouble, you give me $5,000 more. I'm going to give you the 42 footer. And don't worry about it. And you can have this one for $5 more. So that, watch this. God just will never do what you ask for or think. He's always going to do. Is this making sense? See, when you have, you got to have God as your source. See, when God is your source, you have no trouble forsaking what you want for what he wants. Because I want God to look out for me more than I want to look out for myself. Are you seeing this? So God is never going to do, God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that should he also reap, right? But you're not just sowing into a man, you're sowing into God. So God always going to come back and give you more than what you put in. Are y'all seeing this? So for a few moments, I want to go over these first few points in this particular chapter. Because this is going to, turn to 1 Chronicles 11. This is going to give us insight into properly connecting with our spiritual leaders. 1 Chronicles, the 11th chapter. Chapter 11, verse 1. And then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, Behold, look at what they say. We are thy bone and thy flesh. And moreover, in times past, even when Saul was king, thou wast he that led us out and brought in Israel. And thou shalt be ruler over my people Israel. Therefore came all the elders of Israel to the kingdom, to the king of Hebron, and David made a covenant with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel according to the word of the Lord by Samuel. Why did they anoint David king of Israel? Look at that last statement in the third verse. According to, are y'all seeing this? So they did it because of the word of the Lord. Not because they thought it was a good idea. That's why you should never join a church, because it's a good idea. You should never get connected to anybody because it's a good idea. It should be instructions from the Lord. Number one. They affirm, look on page 72, they affirm being part of each other's life. You see in verse 1, it says, Then all Israel gathered themselves to David unto Hebron, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Other words, they said, David, we carry the same DNA as you. Other words, David, tell us what you want. We'll make it happen. Tell us what you need. We'll make it happen. They affirmed it. They said it. It was verbal. It was a commitment. It wasn't. I'm going to wait and see what happens. I'm not going to see if this anointing that we did, if it's going to work first. If God said it, I'm joining myself to him. Are you seeing this? So. What they did was they joined themselves to him and they affirmed being a part of his life. See, this is why it's important that you learn who your man and woman of God is. You're not going to learn it from the pulpit. You know when you're going to learn it? You're going to learn it at times when they're working in the ministry and they invite you to be alone. When you're volunteering. When it's not Sunday morning and you have an opportunity to glean from them. See, Sunday mornings are intimate, but it's not as intimate as other moments when it's not Sunday morning. I'm trying to explain it right. When you have opportunities to do something outside of the four walls of the church with your spiritual leader, that's when you learn who they are. So if you don't ever volunteer, you're not going to know. If you don't ever do anything besides come to church on Sundays, you're never going to know. Is this making sense? See, they affirmed and became his DNA. You can't become DNA until you know what the DNA is. Being, watch this. I love this statement. Being of the, look on page 73. Being of the same DNA reduces conflict and contention. That same DNA simply says what they were telling David, David, we are for what you're for. David, God said that you're anointed to be king of Israel. We believe it. We affirm it. So now that we believe what you believe, David, because, watch this, because you, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, because you have shown us how what David did. David killed Goliath. David did not kill Saul. So you got to understand this. David killed Goliath, but David did not kill Saul. Why? Because David respected divine order. So they knew David's heart. So they know, so before he ever wrote Psalms, that he was a man after God's own heart, they saw he was a man after God's own heart. So therefore, watch this. This is very important. When you have a leader who has a heart that is after God, then you don't mind them lead you into blind territory. You don't have no reservations. You don't have no hesitation when the leader says charge, you don't know where we're charging to. Why? Because you trust what they say because of their past behaviors. And once again, that's why they were so ready to affirm themselves to David for two reasons. One, the word of the Lord. And number two, they saw David operate in that anointing. It killed Goliath, wouldn't mess with Saul. Are you seeing this? He knew how to operate in it. So therefore, they were able to trust him. It keeps down contention and strife when we're able to function like that. Because now it's not about what I want, she wants, he wants. It's about what God wants. And all of us have made a commitment to rearrange ourselves so that we can fulfill the will of God for our lives. Is this making sense? A few more minutes. Look at point B. This is, I love what the author says here. Their allegiance is to what? God-given leadership. Not a good idea-given leadership. To God-given leadership. Look at that. Look at that second verse. He said, and moreover in times past, even when Saul was king, thou was he that led us out and brought in Israel. And the Lord thy God sent unto thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a ruler over my... God said, not a good idea. Listen to me, internet. Not just a good idea. Not because they got... Let me bring that scripture into the 21st century language. Not because they can preach good. Not because they have charisma. Charisma is good till you run into a problem. Charisma is wonderful till it's time to come up with a solution. I don't want nobody with charisma lead me when hell is breaking around and coming down on us. I want somebody that know the face of God. I want somebody that can know how to get ugly for Jesus. Forget charisma. Charisma is good in its place. But I don't want charisma when hell coming around. I want somebody that can hear from God. Their allegiance is to God-given leadership. Look at what the author says. Those who come to our churches must not contest the authority and leadership of the set man in the house. Now, here's what I have a problem with. Here's what the author is not saying. Remember what I talked about earlier about what you dislike and what you like? You got control over that. I don't mind, and I'm going to use Word of Life for instance. I don't mind somebody might disagree with the apostle, but I have a problem with somebody who won't submit to the apostle. Because you can disagree and submit and talk to yourself until you get my mind right. Okay, this is what he said. You get what I'm saying? See, most people get into trouble because there's a grace. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. And we're going to get to this later on next week. There's a grace that covers spiritual leaders that don't cover those that follow them. But if you connect properly, it can cover you. Give you an example. Give you the example of Noah. Noah had just, you know, built the ark. They done went through the flood. They done got off the ark. He is in charge of rebuilding the earth. Him and his family. So he got drunk, right? Remember, we all know the story. He got drunk. And it was Ham. I believe it was Ham, right? Ham approached him improperly in a dishonorable manner, right? The other two backed in to cover him up. When Moses sobered up, he found out that Ham was dishonorable to him and cursed him. Now the question is, why was Noah in his wrongness able to curse Ham? Because there's a grace covering spiritual leaders to make a misstep and God will cover them. Because why? God understands that they are human. So there's a grace to cover them, right? That if we tried, you get what I'm saying? So therefore, this is why you can't never go into a house and challenge the set leader of that house. I don't care if you know more than them. I don't care if you know more scriptures than them. I don't care if you pray in the Holy Spirit and they don't pray in the Holy Spirit. You know, people who get filled with the Holy Spirit love to go back to people who think they know less. They think no less and try to prove it. No, there's a grace on that leader. Are you seeing this? So you cannot go in and try to upset the authority in that house. You have to have your allegiance given to the set leader of that house. I may not understand all what Apostle does. I don't understand all of it, but it's not my job to understand it. Because if I understood that, I wouldn't have done it myself. You got what I'm saying? Hold on. I'm going to let you ask it. I would have done it after I would have done it already. You got what I'm saying? So God is going to speak to our leaders things that he'll never speak to us. This is why you have to trust who you follow. If God is not changing his system. He's not changing divine order. If you can't trust who you're following, get up, move. Go find somebody that you can trust. Hope you listen to me today. Go find somebody you can trust because God is not changing. God is not going to bypass his system for no individual. Are you seeing this? Next week, I'll continue point C and D and E. We're going to try to cover all those next week. I know I'm going to make a good attempt to do it. Might not be able to, but I'll make a good attempt. Your question was?
There's another example, Moses.
Exactly. See, Moses wasn't, he was doing something for God that just was out of the ordinary. So watch this. When Moses married the wife he wanted to marry, Miriam thought because she was his prayer coordinator. You got to remember now, it was Miriam that prayed for Moses, got Moses down the Nile, got Moses into the house, put Moses in a position where he was educated. It was Miriam that did that. Miriam, I don't care you did all that. You don't have this particular grace. So you can't tell, and I love what God said. God said, with the rest of y'all, I'm going to talk to y'all in dreams. But with my servant Moses, I'm going to talk to him face to face. I love it. I want my apostle to be able to talk to God face to face. I don't need to see God face to face. I don't have to. He can talk God face to face and come tell me what God's saying. I'm happy. Because you can see the results. Are y'all seeing this? I'll see y'all next week.